Welcome to the room. Welcome to the Bible study, and we're going to get right into it here. Who were the Greeks in the Bible? And it'll greatly help if you will determine in your own heart and mind to believe the King James Bible without any changes or corrections being made to it. And I pray that this study will be both accurate and understandable. Believe the words on the page, just as they're written, considering the audience to whom it's being addressed, and the time at which it was written, and the time for which it was written, if for a different time. Let's start off with 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Believe the Bible more than what has been heard from man, whether it be a dear parent or pastor or friend or on the radio, the media, somewhere. Look in your own copy of what God spoke for you in Romans to Philemon, to find out God's information and God's instructions for you. Not secondhand information. You don't want to get it from somebody else and say, I'm trusting my eternity to what so-and-so said because I trust them that much. No. Trust God more than man. 1 Corinthians 4:6. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sake, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. So we see that God dispensed precious promises and covenants to Abram early in the Bible. He was renamed Abram to Abraham, and he descended from Adam, and then from Noah through Shem. That's a bit of his history, Abram's history. Those promises and covenants were to him and to his child Isaac, not to Ishmael. But to Isaac, and to Isaac's child, Jacob. Not to Esau, but to Jacob. And Jacob was renamed Israel, so that's where you get the children of Israel. God separated out Israel from the other nations and set Israel apart from the rest of mankind. At that time, the only way that God dispensed his will and his workings for mankind was through Israel and through Israel's promises, covenants, and commandments. Anyone who wanted, if you were not an Israelite and you wanted to be godly and to come to God, in order to come to God, you had to come through Israel and through God's covenants with Israel, either by proselyting or by blessing Israel, according to Genesis 12:3. Until Israel's fall in Acts 7, Israel was a separated, distinct group of people, apart from the Gentile people group. So you've got two separate groups, and you need to rightly divide between them, according to 2 Timothy 2:15. Most people err in their understanding, their theology, their doctrine, by not accounting for the differences arising from there having been two separate people groups, Gentiles and Israel, before Israel fell in Acts 7. Things naturally changed then. God dispensed his salvation instructions differently through Israel's 12 apostles than he had earlier instructed mankind before he separated out Israel from the Gentiles. So there was a change. When God did separate out Israel, there was a change in the way he dispensed his grace and his information, his instructions for us. Well, for them, I should say. That's one of those determine who's being written to. He wasn't writing to me there. He was writing to what, Noah, and to then to Abraham, separating out the children of Israel in Exodus 4:22, and that area around there, around those verses. But after Israel fell, God revealed his new pattern of salvation instructions through Paul, calling it the mystery of Christ and the manifold wisdom of God. And with that in mind, let's look back before a dispensation of the gospel of Christ's present truth that we have now, even. Before it was initiated through Paul, before Israel's fall from being God's people in Acts 7, remember that for Israel, part of keeping the commandments involved keeping Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 to 19. That's why you hear so much about the name of the Lord. Believe on the name. Because of those verses. We'll read them in just a moment. But they needed to hearken to that prophet, like unto Moses, that God would raise up. Let's look at those verses, starting in verse 15. Deuteronomy 18:15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet, and this is God talking to Moses, a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. And, let's see, like unto me, unto him you shall hearken. Verse 16, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see that this great fire any more, that I die not. And hold on just a minute here. Hold on. Alright. We were up to 17. We'll read 17. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. Verse 18, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Finally, verse 9, Deuteronomy 18:9, and it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. So the Lord tells ahead of time that he's going to send, it turns out it's the Lord Jesus Christ, but he's called the prophet there, and they're told that they have to believe him. That's part of the law. It's in Deuteronomy, the second giving of the law. So that's where they failed, isn't it? They didn't believe the prophet that God sent, the Lord Jesus Christ. They crucified him. And then they blasphemed against the Holy Ghost in the words of Stephen. The Holy Ghost filled Stephen when he spoke the words directly from the Holy Ghost. They fell at that point. And they had already gone against or denied John the Baptist, not resisting when they wanted to cut his head off. So during the initial dispensing of God's salvation instructions to mankind through his promises and covenants and commandments with Israel, before Israel's fall in Acts 7, there were these four basic people groups. There was disbelieving Gentiles and believing Gentiles. There were believing Jews and unbelieving or disbelieving Jews. And that may seem, you know, not redundant, but too simple to mention, but we need to know. there were still the people groups of Gentiles, and separate from the Gentiles, Israel. But there were some apostate Jews that would not believe the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, would not believe his identity, who he was described and prophesied to be. They had all the information they needed. They knew what town he was going to be in, going to be born in, Bethlehem. They knew he would be born of a virgin. They knew he would be cut off after the 69th week of years after the sending in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 6. But specifically, there were these four groups of people when all salvation was through Israel at that time. You couldn't just say, I want to be God's man. You had to come through the covenants, bless Israel, seek the wisdom and knowledge of God if you were not born an Israelite. The other route would be to be circumcised, and your children would be considered, would be as those born in the land, and you would be considered that way. But those four people groups, there, first of all, there are alien, ungodly Gentiles, alien from God's plan and provisions there of the covenants. Disbelieving God's covenants with Israel, they were lost, they were aliens, they were without hope in the world. Secondly, these ungodly Gentiles were Gentile, I got that confused, were past that. The first group was the ungodly Gentiles. This second group is the godly Gentiles, the ones that were believers in God's covenants, like Cornelius, like, Rahab, she blessed Israel, Ruth, others down through the history of the Bible, but they were called the devout. Or they would include Greeks and proselytes and Moses' mixed multitude that came out together with Israel. There were many that came of the Egyptians came out because they wanted to be on God's side. Thirdly, there was Israel. Israel's believers in God's prophecies and covenants through circumcision, they were the remnant, the little flock, later on called the little flock. And the fourth people group, Israel's disbelievers in God's covenants. All we like sheep have gone astray. That verse applies there, I think. They were apostates. Excuse me just a minute. Pardon me. Let's consider the major turning point. Paul referred to that change in Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12 about the gospel he preached. In Galatians chapter 2, verses 2, And verses 6 through 9, they both talk about a change. Paul's gospel, not just the gospel of the circumcision. And we hear about God's new pattern of salvation in 1 Timothy 1, verses 12 to 16, as well as in Paul's sermon in Acts 13, verses 26 to 47. It's a longer, it may not be long for a sermon, but it's a longer group of verses. But essentially, he gives the death, burial, and resurrection, that are often called the DBR, in verses 28 to 30. And then from verse 31 to verse 37, he gives the gospel of God, that Jesus is the Messiah, he is the Son of God, and he did rise from the dead. Those three factors are the gospel of God, according to Romans 1, first four verses. And then after that, in Acts 13, 38 and 39, you get the gospel of Christ in a different form, actually. But it talks about those that believe on him receive forgiveness of sins, not just remission. In other words, they're forgiven at that moment of belief, not just waiting to the end, if they endure to the end to be saved. And what is the other part? Oh, they're justified of all things from which the law of Moses could not justify you. There were things they couldn't be justified of if they did under the commandments and the law of Moses. That's not the way it is with Paul's gospel, the gospel we believe today. For by grace you are saved through faith, not of works. But things changed after Acts 7, when Israel fell from being God's people. And then by saving, sealing, and sending out Paul, then called Saul still, God started his new pattern of salvation instructions that we're under today. Each person has the choice either not to believe that Paul's epistles, they document Christ's revelations to Paul. And in that case, the King, if you don't believe that Paul's epistles are from the revelations that Christ gave him, then, you know, in that case, the King James Bible is in error, or you believe it to be, and it's not to be trusted. The other choice is to believe the King James Bible, that Paul's revelations are from Christ, revealing a change in the dispensing of God's salvation instructions to mankind. After Israel fell in Acts 7, and God began revealing the mystery of Christ through Paul, the choices that people groups had began to change. You've got differences that make a difference in the choices that there were. The Gentiles that had not believed God and his covenants had three choices. There were two bad choices and one good choice. One bad choice was that they would remain as unbelieving. They would remain as condemned. Disbelievers, not believing in God's salvation, and they would die condemned. The other bad choice was to try to bless Israel, repent and be water baptized, not realizing that Israel's covenants and gospel had been postponed after Israel fell, and that no one was being saved by them anymore. Or they did have a good choice. The good choice was that they could believe Paul's gospel of Christ crucified for their sins and instantly be saved into the body of Christ. Those were the choices of the Gentiles that had not believed God and his covenants. Now, we'll shift and talk about the Gentiles that had believed God. They would believe God and his covenants, and so they blessed Israel, part of the covenant, Genesis 12:3, blessed Israel, and well, that's just like the Greeks had done, and they had three choices, one good choice and two bad choices. We'll talk about the good one first. The good choice was, as a sinner, to believe Paul's gospel of Christ crucified for their sins and instantly be saved into the body of Christ. So both, any Gentile has that choice, and it's a good choice. We're talking about Gentiles that had believed before, and often many of them were called Greeks from their desire of knowledge that the Greek culture had handed down, not because they came from Greece. One of the bad choices for believing Gentiles was to try to keep blessing Israel, repent and be water baptized, and they also would not have realized that Israel's covenants and gospel had been postponed, that no one was being called to salvation by those covenants anymore then, or even today. They're not. They don't work. Baptism, repentance, that's not the way to salvation. That's not God's instructions. The other bad choice was to stop believing the God of Israel without starting to believe Paul's gospel of Christ crucified for their sins. And so they would die condemned because they did not believe in God or his way, his instructions. Those were the choices that the Gentiles had, the Gentiles that believed God and his covenants. What about the Jews? The Jews that had believed God and the promises, the covenants, the commandments, they had no choice to make but to endure to the end, dying in that state and in that that condition, waiting to be resurrected into the land in the kingdom coming out of heaven. So that just leaves the Jews that had not believed God. They had three choices, two good choices and one bad choice. The one bad choice was to continue disbelieving. These are the Jews that had not believed God, the apostates, continued disbelieving in God and die condemned. And another bad choice was that they might choose to believe Israel's postponed covenants as if they were still in effect. But no one was being saved or called to salvation then by those covenants anymore, after Acts 7 when they fell, or today even. The good choice was to believe Paul's gospel of Christ crucified for their sins, to be instantly saved into the body of Christ. That new pattern of salvation instructions required a different response to God's grace. Before Israel fell, God's instructions were to believe the gospel of the circumcision with all its elements and requirements and do the resulting works, including the covenants and the commandments, keeping those things and hearkening to and receiving their Messiah, that prophet sent by God, like unto Moses, Deuteronomy 18:15-19. After Israel fell, though, that was all before Israel fell. After Israel fell, God started revealing his new pattern of salvation instructions only through faith in Paul's gospel of the uncircumcision. And we need to see that there is at least one situation that could have occurred which would have allowed an exception of certain new believers of the gospel of the circumcision to come into faith in Israel's covenants, promises, commandments. But that only applied to to certain disbelieving Jews that had God had called them before Israel fell. They'd been called in circumcision before Israel fell. And those Jewish disbelievers had not exercised faith in that gospel, the gospel of the circumcision, until after hearing Paul when he preached the gospel of God, that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, risen from the dead. And you read about them in the scripture in 1 Corinthians 7. 1 Corinthians 7, verses 17 through 20. Let's look at those. But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk. And so I ordain in all churches. So ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised? That's what we're talking about. He was called. Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God. Verse 20. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Well, that does eliminate their jumping back and forth between systems, between doctrines, from circumcision or uncircumcision. But those that God had called before Israel fell, and they had not responded, later on when Paul came and preached, they could have responded to that initial call. Not that Paul was preaching anything to them about the kingdom. He was preaching them the gospel of God, who Jesus is, and they became aware that Jesus was legitimate. He was their Savior, and they would believe then that call that they had received before Israel did fall. So that's a possibility. I'm not saying the Bible spells all that out, but that could have happened, and in that case, Paul was not negligent of his striving to not preach the gospel where someone else had laid a foundation. In other words, where Peter had preached. And you find him in Acts 16 being redirected away from certain areas because Peter apparently had a ministry there. And you can see Peter's ministry in 1 Peter 1:1, first verse of the first chapter of 1 Peter. While God revealed a new pattern of salvation instructions through Paul, he did not desert those who had trusted God through the promises, the covenants, the commandments. So until the covenant-believing Jews and the covenant-believing Gentiles meeting together there in Jerusalem, called the Church of God, until they all died out, those two people groups still existed, but no one else could convert from one believing group, people group, to the other believing people group. They couldn't just jump back and forth. God had stopped saving through the covenants and had begun saving by grace through faith into the one body of Christ rather than into Israel anymore. The information of, when Paul, when he introduced the mystery of Christ, the secret that Christ held, and he did so by dispensing the gospel of Christ, the good news that Messiah had given him, it left each of the disbelieving Gentiles and the disbelieving Jews with a new choice to make. As you know, they didn't know there was going to be this mystery of Christ revealed after Israel fell, but it happened, and it gave them a new choice. And we consider the new choice those two formerly disbelieving people groups had As we do, let's wait to examine the formerly disbelieving Gentiles, and we'll start off by examining the Jews that disbelieved. Who were the formerly disbelieving Jews? They were Jews like the Pharisees in Luke 7:29-30. They were Jews like in John 9:13-38. They were Jews like Judas, like all those that stoned Stephen. Jews like that. That's what we're talking about. Jews that didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God, risen from the dead. Let's look at those verses. See these Pharisees in Luke 7:29-30 that disbelieved. All the people that heard him and the publicans justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. Luke 7:30, but the Pharisees and lawyers, they could be included too, rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. So they made their choice, and they did the resulting works, refraining from being baptized, water baptized. They had descended from Jacob, all right, but they refused to believe both the promises, the covenants, etc., and that Jesus is the Son of God, their risen Messiah. What were the choices of the disbelieving Jews before Christ started revealing his mystery to Paul for us? Those disbelieving Jews had the choice to either believe the promises and covenants and commandments, along with believing that Jesus is their Messiah, or else they could choose to disbelieve both the truths of the covenants, etc., and that Jesus is their Messiah, and then die condemned without a Savior, or without taking use of the Savior, becoming a saved person by believing the gospel. After Christ started revealing his mystery to Paul for us, those disbelieving Jews had the choice to either remain selfish, untrusting disbelievers, or to, by God's grace, be part of the remnant according to the election of grace, by believing Paul's gospel of Christ crucified for all our sins. The individual Jews that had been disbelievers, but now have believed Paul's gospel of Christ individually, have become part of the body of Christ, where there is neither Jew nor Greek. The Greeks are singled out from Jews as being part of a different people group than the Jews are. Greeks are not Jews. They're Gentiles still. But Greeks are a specific condition of Gentile. All Greeks are Gentiles. But not all Gentiles are Greeks. There are some Gentiles that are not Greeks, in other words. In Romans 10:12-13, we see that at that time, that the time that Romans was written in Acts 20, God doctrinally lumps Greeks together with the Jews. So reading those two verses, Romans 10:12-13, there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The name is his identity. It's that gospel of God, that he is the Son of God, the Messiah, risen from the dead. He's the only one that fits that description. Israelites were the people that were to believe on the name of the Lord, Christ's prophetic identity. Today, the gospel is to entrust your salvation to Christ on the basis of Christ having died for all your sins. When we read about people calling upon the name of the Lord, calling upon the Lord, remember to connect that with Romans 10, verses 14 and 15. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Well, that's one reason why we emphasize Christ's sendings of Paul. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. What gospel is said to result in peace? Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God and bring glad tidings of good things. Who was Paul sent out to with the gospel of Christ by the time of Romans 10, verses 12 to 15? Well, Paul was not yet sent out to all men until the time of his, after his Acts 18 Jerusalem temple vision. And I'm getting into tomorrow's lesson, so we'll stop there. Any comments or questions? I know a lot of that is involved, but those choices that they had, the different people groups had, did vary according to the people group. And, you know, when they looked at their choices, thought about their choices, the only good choice was to believe the new present truth, the present truth that Christ had revealed to Paul, because Israel had already fallen. They couldn't keep going that way. You couldn't bless Israel to receive a blessing from God. That covenant had been postponed because Israel refused their Messiah and refused to believe the Holy Ghost. So, comments or questions, and then we'll close.